Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
TV party tonight!
What?
TV party tonight!
Oh!
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
Don't want to talk about anything else.
We don't want to know.
We're dedicated
to our favorite shows.
Oh, my ticket!
Everybody loves Hypnotoad!
Scary Dog!
Clemson at Blurnsville!
Futurama!
Good evening. You are listening to a Rattlegion Broadcasting premiere podcast, TV Party Tonight. I'm your host, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Rattlegion. And joining me from parts unknown, apparently, ladies and gentlemen, he's late for a very important date, like the rabbit from Alice in Wonderland. Chris Bailey, how do you do?
It's Doc Bailey, and I'm so glad to be here. I'm here on TV Party tonight to talk some Hell in a Cell, Daddy.
Yes, sir.
That was my useless Doc Hendricks impression. I'm sorry.
For those of you who are just like, you know, I like the podcast, but when are we going to see Chris Bailey's pretty face? Well, today is not that day, but soon, my children, soon Chris Bailey
will.
He will stand on camera and give you all of this.
I don't want you to shatter your screens with beauty right now. Okay, I'm holding off. I'm like the man who's hidden under the ring, handing weapons to Drew McIntyre in the main event. That's my hand. You haven't seen me.
Yeah, you show that to me on Twitter. The unseen hand from what is it, the Addams Family?
We'll get into that a little bit later, Mark Rattledge.
We are talking WWE Hell in a Cell 2021. For those of you who follow me on TikTok, sorry, I've developed a Twitch.
You have become the TikTok master. I don't even know what it is. I say, I talk to my kids and I go, what is the TikTok? What are we doing on the TikTok? And they're like, Dad, it's TikTok, for God's sake.
My kids and I did 1 minute match reviews for just a couple of the fun matches that we all watched together. You know, I'm not going to get a 7 and a 10 year old to watch Seth Rollins versus fucking Cesaro, but I can get them. But you know, my daughter will watch anything with women in it. So she watched, and she actually likes all the people in these matches, except for Charlotte Flair. She hates her, but you know, she likes all the people involved in the women's matches. So we did those. We did the main event because it was a Hell in the Cell. And that was about it. And those are up on the TikTok now. But now you get the full 1 hour review of the entire event, Chris Bailey. And I'll tell you, even though I had just come home from work, they finally fixed Peacock to where I could start it from the beginning.
What little advantage the WWE Network Canada once had has now been destroyed again.
If Christian were here, he would say, you know, he would lament the fact that he had to keep starting it from the beginning because the functionality still isn't as good as it should be. But at the very least, I could go back to the beginning of the kickoff. So what was really funny was, like, Jesse was in our Twitter chat, Jesse Starcher, formerly of his own goddamn podcast, Source Material, and the only one he's doing with regularity these days, Unspoken Issues. He came into our chat and he was like, oh my God, did you see this match yet? No, I'm an hour behind.
I noticed that. That was hilarious. Say, big hello to Jesse and Chris, of course. That was nice to see him back in the chat. We'd love to have Jesse back here on the show once again, of course.
I'd like him to take his own goddamn show back. That's what I'd like.
Oh, that would be great as well. Yes.
I'd like a night where I don't podcast him. Just because, saying.
Mark doesn't really have enough time fulfilled, you know, right now on podcasts. So, you know, really he's, you know, just filling space in his very empty calendar. So he certainly doesn't need to. Why not take over on Spoken Issues? Let's do that one too. Fuck it.
You know the hilarity of that, and then we will get started. I don't want to continue my reputation as Greg the Hammer Valentine of podcasts. But I actually pitched him a show to pitch to Dean of Unspoken, of the Unspoken Decade. And I'm like, hey, is it like an all 90s site? Because if so, what if we started doing 90s metal albums? You know, like the Black Album, yes, and all this stuff. Like I got the kick from doing the Motley Crue thing for Superblog Team Up. And I'm like, yeah, we could do Unspoken albums. Make it part of it. Yeah, no, he just wants to talk about comics on his website, and it's his website, and that's all he wants to talk about. And I was like, but I had a good idea. No time to do it.
Idea.
But I had a good idea, and he was like, I just want to talk about comics with my friend Dean of the Unspoken Decade. I'm like, motherfucker. Well, back to the drawing board.
That being said, it is fun talking to Dean. So, you know, big shout out to Mr. Dean Compton.
Yes, sir. Pull him from the ceiling and sit him down for a podcast. He is fun to listen to.
He is indeed.
All righty. Enough with the jibba jabba. Let's get into, and I have a fun little clip show for the people watching the videos here.
All right.
Let's start talking Hell in a Cell. Did you watch the kickoff match with Natalya?
I did watch the kickoff match. And boy, did you see the preamble to why we had this match?
No.
Okay, so basically it was in the, you know, I'm not sure if it was in the training center or wherever, but anyway, there was a match that was occurring that looked like something out of an 80s porn flick or something. It looked like one of those those China videos, you know what I mean? The second one where they were wrestling in the ring while having lots of sex. That's what it looked like.
Nice.
But boy, did we not need this match. So we had Natalya take on Mandy Rose in just a regular singles match with absolutely no consequences with Natalya going over with the sharpshooter. Thankfully, I'm glad that they're giving Natalya something to do and actually giving her, you know, some wins, which is great to see as a Canadian. But boy, does this feud not need to exist, Mark Radlich. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, like, it was a kickoff match. I don't have a tremendous amount to say about it. Like I said, I don't follow the product on Monday Night Raw. I don't watch SmackDown either. I kind of watch these big events and then we talk about them and then I move on to 87 other things. So like wasn't Natalya like teaming up with somebody? Like I didn't know she was even feuding with Mandy Rose. That's how like off I am.
Well, I mean, you have Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke have been a unit since for quite a while, since Mandy Rose came over and left poor Otis in the lurch over on SmackDown. But boy, does that team really, really not gel well together? I mean, the whole knock on them is that they're two, you know, stacked up, beautiful girls with absolutely zero wrestling talent, but, you know, they're starting to come into their own. And I think that's the, you know, you've got a tag team with family lineage with Tamina Snuka and Natty Neidhart. And, you know, they're second generation wrestlers and, you know, they're supposedly skilled wrestlers. And then you got, you know, the plastics. You've got Dana Brooke, whose, you know, face looks like it's been stretched a mile across Albuquerque. And, you know, Mandy Rose, who's literally a Barbie doll, like straight out of the packaging, mint in box, as we'll say.
There's got to be like a mental health issue with the plastic surgery thing, because like a little bit of cosmetic surgery to correct an issue or, you know, whatever. Like, I totally get that. Or, you know, if there's an injury, you know, corrective surgery to fix the injury. I understand all that.
Absolutely.
One enhancement I can kind of live with people. Like, I just never liked my nose. And so, you know, they do an enhancement of the nose. And who doesn't like breast implants? Really? I mean, come on. So just a side conversation.
As we show a picture of Rhea Ripley, who I would encourage to have plastic surgery, but move on.
You know, it's always just like, oh, those boobs don't count. They're plastic. And I'm like, not any man I've ever met would ever say that. In any case, but like, to go to the point that like, have you seen Goldie Hawn lately?
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. She's got a knot on the back of her head that's connected to her face, and they keep twisting that motherfucker.
her, Dana Brooke, who isn't quite as bad, but she's getting there. Like, at what point do you look at yourself in the mirror and be like, I've gone too far? I no longer look human.
Yeah, she is now Dana Brooke from Friends Reunion.
Damn it.
So she's looking pretty tight there, brother.
Speaking of tight, Bianca Belair defeated Bayley in a Hell in the Cell for the WWE SmackDown's Women's Champion. This one was almost 20 minutes. Probably the, if not the best match on the card, then the second best match on the card, for sure. They started off hot here.
Okay, so you're on the camp of the wrestling shed. So I got into a heated messenger war with the boys from the wrestling shed.
What's the wrestling shed, Chris Bailey?
Yes, the wrestling shed is a Facebook group, which I encourage everybody to join with my good friend Chad Everard. He runs that baby, and you know he's got all kinds of fun stuff posting daily. But anyway, these guys seem to think that this show, or this match in particular, with Ding Dong Hello Bailey taking on world champion Bianca Belair, belonged in a Hell in the Cell. And I argued that why in the heck would this match end up being inside a cell? And now my argument is this feud is based off a Ding Dong Hello spot where Bailey, you know, called down the champion and they had a mild tussle on the ground. And then on SmackDown, she showed up on all the monitors on the Thunderdome and laughed. And now we're at the point where they sell. Apparently it takes nothing to cause it to be in a cell. So, you know, if you said boo the wrong way to me today, we're going to the damn cell, Mark Radlich, to settle this. You know what I mean? It means nothing. I did like the match though. Yes.
We are long since past the days of a several years feud off and on between Mick Foley and Triple H ending with Hell in the Cell.
So here's what I need. All I need from you is a yes or no answer to settle this. So Wrestling Shed, your fate hangs in the balance here with Mark Radlich's vote. Mark Radlich, did Bianca Belair versus Bayley belong in a Hell in a Cell? Yes or no?
No.
There you go. Thank you, Jesus.
Am I just a girl here? Can I kind of give context, reasons for my rationale? Or
yes,
you're
please.
Just like, no,
since
no.
you're on my side, you can.
Oh, okay. That's how that works. Fantastic.
Go.
The cage traditionally is supposed to keep other people from interfering. That's the point of it. You know, yes. We've had a match. People kept getting involved. The person who should have won the match kept losing, and therefore we're going to build this this barrier to keep people out to keep it fair. That's the purpose of the cage. When Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker first did this, it was because their Ground Zero match, which I would encourage everyone to watch from I believe it was September of 1997. Their Ground Zero match went everywhere. The Undertaker done killed a cameraman.
Yep.
They went through tables. They killed the ringside area. They had to be separated by the entire locker room and producers and everything. It was a wild brawl. And so it was like, okay, we need – and in story, this is all kayfabe. We need to settle this once and for all between The Undertaker and Shawn, and we need nobody to get to interfere. And it was the perfect setup because then Kane did interfere, but he did so in spectacular fashion by ripping the door off its hinges. That's how you set up a Hell in the Cell.
Yes, but there was a purpose. There was a feud and a blood feud that caused these guys to have to go to war inside a cage.
Right.
I don't think I can argue, and I know a lot of people are skeptical of this one too, that Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley belonged in a cage as well, because these guys have been battling on almost every show since WrestleMania, even before that. Every single Raw, there's been some altercation. Right. They're beating the crap out of each other. They're doing hardcore matches. They have extreme rules matches. So this is the final straw. They said it was the final chance for Drew McIntyre at that championship. Okay? Yes. So in my opinion, I'm justifying that. It's your end game. It's your final match. You are in the Hell in the Cell. We're going to finish this thing. Nobody's interfering. It's just me and you in a cage. Boom. Bob's your uncle.
I 100% agree with you. There should have been one Hell in the Cell, and this was it. Not Bianca Belair versus Bayley, I think, could have had a stipulation to kick things off,
right?
You know, or if you really insisted on having to do a cage match, but that's the thing. They only had a Hell in the Cell because the pay per view was called Hell in the Cell,
correct?
And nothing else on this match, nothing else on this card, really warranted it. I mean, they could have flipped a coin and done it for Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley. And either it would have been like six of one, half a dozen of the other. The point being, just so we can move this along, I thought it was a great match. The cage was immaterial. It didn't really play into, I mean, they did some spots as far as running people into it. So it's not like they, didn't use the cage at all. But like when you think of Hell in a Cell, someone climbs the cage. They do like goofy stuff with the cage. They make the cage like a ladder match. They make the cage a part of the match. Here, right. It was kind of there for stuff to be for people to be run into, or they set up furniture on it. Like I think there was the kendo stick spot where they.
Oh, that was terrible. Terrible.
All I could hear was Jim Cornette in my head going, who takes time out of a blood feud, out of a fight to set up furniture?
Yes. And they literally set up two kendo sticks, placed them between the ring and the cage. Mm-hmm. And then they power bombed one of the people through the taped portion of the kendo sticks as to not get splinters.
Like 5 minutes okay? later, it wasn't like I'm so mad at you and I'm gonna do this thing so I can ram your face into it all in one smooth motion. It was let me set up my magic trick, let me set up my stunt show so we can go. It's like the big ladder matches where everyone sets up a table everywhere, and then at the end, it's like dominoes falling. It's just like this person went through a table. This, you know, like they all go through the tables, set up all around the ring. You know, you could hear the da 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 in the background.
There's one spot I need to call out in this match. So they brought the ladder. They brought the ladder inside the ring. Okay.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18 plus. You with me?
I am.
Bailey places Bianca Belair in between the rungs of the ladder, a la a sandwich, okay? Yep. And she proceeded to do some of the weakest spots where Bianca Belair played like she was trapped, like eternally trapped inside these two rungs of the ladder while Bailey stomped away, like almost barely making contact with the ladder. And she looked like it was one of the worst played out spots I've ever seen. Ineffective and almost embarrassing. Could not stand that spot.
Yeah.
Oh my,
for all the complaining that we're doing, like, and that just tells you how this card really, you know, how good this card was. Like I said, I really liked the match. I was entertained by it. The one last point I want, cause I don't have a whole lot to say about a lot of these matches. So we're spending some time on the one I have some opinions on. I said this to Robert Winfrey in one of our chats. I was like, isn't this the second or third match in a row they've done where Bianca's hair was a major focal point of the psychology?
Yeah, they're continuing trying to come up with unique spots with the hair.
Yeah.
So, you know, tying it to the cage, tying it to the ropes, using it as a whip, as a weapon. Like, like what? What? Okay, so I think we're almost out of gas on this particular gimmick. So, you know, is the next step somebody cutting it off and embarrassing her and leaving her in the ring sans her hair? A la Samson?
I'm waiting for everyone involved, including Bianca Belair, to have a moment of cognitive dissonance in the middle of the match, and they use it for a hanging spot, and then until they realize what they've done.
Exactly. Exactly right. Tie her in a noose and hang her from the cell line.
And be like, oh, we can't. What have we done?
She hung her from her own damn hair. Yeah. My God.
And suddenly they're not on Peacock anymore. They're going to be on Shudder.
What was the finish on this match? Was it a roll up or did she? What was the finish here?
I don't even remember.
Because I feel a lot of these matches ended in roll ups.
Yeah, we'll get to that. All right, let's move on to the next one. Okay. Seth Rollins and Cesaro had a match. It was 16 minutes and 15 seconds. I mean, these guys are both excellent wrestlers.
Yep.
They work well with each other. This was kind of like your best bout machine match of the night, or at least that was the potential. I think I have two problems with this match because I think it was solid and well executed. It was also nondescript. It was also on after my kids and I did our first TikTok for the first match, and by the time I was done TikToking, it was over. So, your thoughts, sir?
It was stuck in second gear. So, you know, it really, really never got, you know, we didn't get to see the UFO broke out, you know, or did we? I don't think we did. I was pretty confident we did not see the UFO. So, you know, there was definitely pieces of the puzzle that were missing from this particular match that we didn't see at the last big show where these guys fought, you know what I mean, at WrestleMania, where, you know, stakes actually mattered. But this is one of the problems, because you're back to even Steven booking, okay? This is Rollins getting his heat back, which is okay, and you kind of figured that was going to be the end result anyway. But it was kind of sad to see that, you know, this push of, you know, of Cesaro, is it over already? That's my question.
Yeah, I don't see where else they can go with this. I think you know, this is kind of, remember when Mark Henry retired and then immediately was in a match with John Cena? Remember when they pushed R-Truth as a crazy person for 5 minutes and
he feuded
with John Cena? And in both cases, as soon as that one match was over, they plummeted back down the card again.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't want it to be over yet. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I think. I think with Cesaro, it's like they used him for the 1 month they needed him for Roman Reigns. And this is, you know, here's the thing. There's a handful of guys that they're going to keep strong no matter what. And two of them are Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins.
Exactly.
So everybody gets kind of sacrificed at the altar of those two guys. That's just,
and it's a shame, because, you know, eventually you do have to develop your young talent, or otherwise you're going to end up at, you know, at SummerSlam or a WrestleMania having to pull out, you know, the John Cena card or, you know, the Rock card, because you don't have any talent built up. You know what I mean?
Hey, listen, did you see the news item that broke today? We're recording this on Tuesday, June 22nd. And as we were recording this, I saw a news break that they're thinking about already bringing Karrion Kross and Scarlett up, but not together. Like, I don't know what's the dumber decision.
Wow, that is
not the NXT title.
She's part of the act, man. Like, it's part of the package. But man, that's a huge mistake.
But I brought that up to your point about, you know, they developed a young talent. What they end up doing is bringing up a young talent too quickly, feeding them to somebody else, and then it's just like, how many people down in the Performance Center and then subsequently on NXT television can we feed to the same three or four guys?
Dear God, I hope they don't just bring him to SmackDown and just have him job out to Shorty G after a week. Please, God.
No, they're going to bring him up. They're going to bring him up and feed him to Roman Reigns.
Oh, God. This is not cool, man. At least, you know what? At least they're not doing it to, like, people who will falter, you know, on that main roster. Like, I'm really afraid of the day that Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole show up on the main roster, because it's over for them then. You know what I mean? The bubble will burst.
You and our good friend Chris Sheehan, our third podsman, when I suggested, like, I think when Roman Reigns got the title, we were talking about, like, well, who do you put that he hasn't already fought? You know, once he gets past Daniel Bryan, basically, and before that, Kevin Owens, like, who else is out there? And, like, you got to bring in some guys from NXT. And the first person I mentioned was Adam Cole, because Adam Cole, I think, would give Roman Reigns good matches. It doesn't look right on the poster. But right. I think once they get that. I get the aesthetics of, you know, a guy who looks like a skinny cruiserweight versus big ass Roman Reigns. But I think Cole would give him a good match, and he loses no value by being beaten because he has no value to begin with.
Bingo. Money.
He has value on NXT. Beyond that, nothing.
Right. And as soon as Vince McMahon sees him in the ring paired up against another opponent, he's going to see that size factor, and it's going to be all over. You know what I mean? He's going to be, you know, he's going to be 205, you know, Adam, you know what I mean? That's what's going to happen to the guy. And it's a real shame, because, you know, these guys do have talent. We've moved on from the big guy era, and you really got to make some stars, and we got to make them quick. And I think AEW is beating these guys to the dance, because they've already established Darby Allin. You know what I mean? They're in the process of establishing Sammy Guevara. So, I mean, they're building this small guy base while the other guys are still concentrating on the Roman Reigns and the big guy syndrome. You know what I mean? And it's a shame.
Yeah, totally. All right. Let's do one more, and then we'll take a break to pay some bills, and then we'll finish up. Alexa Bliss took on Shayna Baszler with Lily the doll.
Man, can you believe that you missed, like, I know you don't watch much Raw. I'm sure you catch some highlights and all that stuff drafted in there.
I watched the promo packages for all these matches.
Mark, the problem with this entire match is Shayna Baszler, you know, who sits on the, you know, the tough girl fence. You know what I mean? She's got that, mm-hmm. Mixed martial arts background. You know, she's in deep with, you know, the Ronda Rousey camp and all this stuff, you know, really sincerely tough person.
Right.
And she's running away from a doll backstage and lightning crashing and stuff falling on her and acting afraid while she's on, you know, Alexa's playground running away. And that spot on Raw was one of the most embarrassing things that I've ever seen. And, you know, my wife has walked in front of a screen a lot of times and go, what in the hell are you watching? But I even got up in front of the screen and goes, man, I don't even know what I'm watching. I beat her to the punch. I don't even know.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Man. Just terrible. But anyway, the match, what do you think?
I think Alexa Bliss's boobs looked bigger in that shirt she was wearing. Like, normally she's wearing like gear.
And it's the padded bra. She's wearing the padded bra because she's got the t-shirt and nothing ain't falling out of that thing.
Is it weird that was like my only observation for this match?
Yes. Yes, it kind of was. And it was very sexist of you.
I'm looking at this and I turned to my wife and I'm like, are Alexa's tits bigger? Alexa's tits bigger? She's like, they look bigger in that shirt. I don't know if they actually are. And I know the conversation my wife and I were having, because my wife follows her on social media, like Instagram and shit. And I guess she's posted pictures of herself not in gear and like regular clothing. And apparently, like I was saying, when she's in her gear, her chest is, you know, tightly wound together, so she's not, doesn't look nearly as chesty. But like in her regular clothing, apparently she's got a nice rack on her. Someone might want to hear what I thought of the wrestling.
It's this detailed analysis that you can expect from the Podsman on a, you know, on a monthly basis here on the W2M network, I guarantee you. But yes, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Well, they put Madame Mim, you know, from a AVN video from, you know, they put Pornhub Man Madame Mim versus the MMA fighter, and you can't expect me to take that seriously. So
this is fair. But
you know, like look, I didn't say anything about gear or body shapes or anything else during Bianca Belair versus Bailey. So anyone who this being a, for those watching on YouTube, this being a visual medium, for anyone who's like, you're so sexist, yeah, right here, baby.
That's hilarious. So, but one of the things I will say, so to be fair to the action, okay? So they started out with, I'm trying to keep this on track here, trying to keep us professional and still on YouTube.
Good try.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But anyway, basically you're doing the tough girl, you know, tossing Alexa around. And in this match, Alexa got to exercise her brand new, newly found superpowers, okay? Mm-hmm. So now she has mind control. So she can control people on the outside. So she actually got, you know, she mind controlled Nia Jax, who's on the outside, and she's slapping, you know, Reginald to the ground. She's mind controlling Shayna Baszler, you know, making her show fear and all kinds of different things. So, you know, we've taken this whole gimmick of, you know, the Fiend and gone up a level here with Alexa Bliss. And, you know, I think anybody who complains about this, and if you were a fan back in the day when you saw Papa Shango and the Ultimate Warrior and you dug that, you got no right to complain about this. So am I a fan of it? Absolutely not. I wish I got off my screen, but I understand who people who dig it. You know what I mean? It's something pretty bizarre, but I think it's starting to, well, it's probably, you know, already worn out its welcome, to be quite honest with you. So where does this go? Is this the return of the Fiend? Is Alexa going to take it an extra notch up, or what is the case? But I don't know. Where is this going? But anyway, Alexa Bliss wins the match and defeats Shayna Baszler. Imagine that.
Yeah, with a roll-up, right?
Didn't she hit Twisted Bliss? Beat her with a roll-up. Yeah.
I don't remember anymore. I just remember like the, I kind of rolled my eyes at the end. And I was thinking about like my kids' reaction to it. Like when we might have, what, Papa Shango Ultimate Warrior happens in what, 89, 90?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
So 89, 90, I'm 14. Yeah, 14. Right. Born in 76. And, I was thinking about that, and like even if like 13, 14 years old, you watch that and it's kind of hokey, but you're like, what are they going to do next? Like, you know, you're kind of into it as a kid, even like an early teenager, because like, Like, this is dumb, but I want to know what's going to happen. And if you're a little kid, you're like, oh my God, he, you know, a witch made a man bleed maple syrup. And like, you're in, like, it's scary, and you're, you know, and if you're into scary things, you're into it. Or if you're just, or if it's just scary, you're just scared. You're like, oh my God, Papa Shango is evil, and he made,
yes,
you know, he made He-Man bleed from the head and all that stuff. So, okay, so
exactly. So you take away your crusty, rigid wrestling fan of, you know, 2021 hat, and put on your kid who's 8 years old watching this for the first time. And, you know, I can see why they like this. I can see why they're tuning into Alexa Bliss.
This was 7 minutes. And my kids, like, if you ask my kids what was the most memorable match on the thing, this would be the one. And so there's a conversation happening, and I think this is the most interesting thing about this entire match is more of the context and conversation around it, which is the WWE clearly is actively trying to market back to like 12 and under. Like, 6 right. to 12 seems to be their bread and butter, which makes sense because 6 to 12-year-olds will buy their garbage, both on screen and at the marketplace.
So do you think that is the core audience that are watching wrestling today? That's my problem. So it's going to go back to the argument of the comic book industry, okay? Who are buying comic books now in 2021? I'll tell you, it's the 45-year-old man babies who didn't get over it, you know, back in the day. You know what I mean? Those are the folks that are still 75% of your core audience. The rest are just a mixture of, you know, newer people to the dance. You know, that you've got the female segment who are buying comics now. You've got, you know, you've still got a few young kids that are sprinkled in there that still buy the comics. But at the end of the day, it's still the 45-year-old man babies who are driving this culture. You know what I mean? This sure. whole business. And I think it's the same for the wrestling industry. So, you know, do we really add a whole whack of new fans? I think the ratings say otherwise because, you know, it doesn't change. It's always, you know, it's always the same. So, I mean, I don't know what we're – if we're catering to the correct audience. Now, am I saying that we should only cater to the 45-year-old man babies? Absolutely not. We should try go for a new audience. Of course we should. But that's the future of your business.
But AEW caters to the indie outlaw mud show,
right?
Like 45-year-old angry incel fan.
Yes, yes. But they I think AEW.
I'm married and have kids. I can't be an incel. But no, I'm making way light of this. But like, I think AEW caters to like.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The group you're talking about, you know, the middle-aged, you know, wrestling fan that, you know, wants to see either light tubes up people's asses or best bout machines. I think the WWE is trying to figure, and this is my point, then we can move on from this. I think the WWE right now is going through like an identity crisis, where they're trying to serve two completely opposite masters. And here's the thing, they've done this before, but it was different in the late 80s, early 90s. So the more of the point that I'm making is that I think we're cycling back through into a time where WWE was trying to figure out where the demarcation line is between your older fans that want to see wrestling and your younger fans that would find a Wizards duel fun. And figuring out how much Wizard Duel do we do versus how much like real wrestling? What are the percentages? I don't think they figured it out yet. I think they're trying. And in all fairness, it was one match. Like, this wasn't overly laden with people throwing fireballs and Hamakami Yai and, you know, and Kaye and, you know, it didn't really break down into that. I mean, we're talking like, not even counting the kickoff match, like Bianca Belair, Bayley was a wrestling match. Cesaro Rollins was a wrestling match. Zayn Owens wrestling. Charlotte Flair really wrestling. And then Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre was your over the top, you know, brutal main event, which is what it was supposed to be. So I think that you can make the comment that, oh, they're catering to children, but not 100%. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I don't know. I just don't think that the WWE has a good pulse on who their audience is right now. And I think they're catering to fans that maybe aren't watching, is what I'm saying.
No, I agree with you. Hey, real quick, I want to tell people about Grammarly. Grammarly might help the WWE writers write better storylines. If we're gonna do if we're gonna do wizards duels, make it a good wizards duel. No pink dragons and stuff. That was for you, Chris Bailey. For you, Grammarly's AI-powered products help people communicate more effectively. Grammarly helps you write mistake-free on Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and nearly anywhere else you write on the web. Grammarly corrects hundreds of grammar, punctuation, and spelling mistakes, while also catching contextual errors, improving your vocabulary, and suggesting style improvements. To download Grammarly today, go to getgrammarly.com/W2M Network. Again, that's getgrammarly.com/W2M Network to download Grammarly for free. All righty. Moving on to
I just put the Survivor Series, the match between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, the Montreal Screwjob, through Grammarly, and Bret Hart was defeated by Shawn Michaels there cleanly. So there you go.
Terrific.
Go ahead.
Sami Zayn took on Kevin Owens for the 4 zillionth time. This time you
could have made an argument that this belonged in a cage, okay? Because these guys have fought ever since they've started in the business. They've either been tag teaming, they've been together as a package, they've been on the road, they've been fighting each other in various incarnations of Kevin Steen, El Generico, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, you name it. These guys have fought everywhere. You could have made an argument, but guess what? This match was literally thrown together on SmackDown the Friday before the show. They just put in filler. Oh,
wow.
So and Sami Zayn got the win.
What? Yeah, I was going to say, like, I think that's like the most standout thing about this match is that Sami Zayn finally won one off of Kevin Owens.
I was actually shocked. I was literally stunned that this happened because it looked like they were cycling out the Sami Zayn character. It looked like he was on the end, you know, the tail end of this whole gimmick. And all of a sudden he gets this big win over Kevin, you know, Vince hates my guts because I'm fat Owens.
Right. So again, this match, it looked brutal. It looked like they kicked the crap out of each other.
They did do a good job. Let's be fair.
Yeah, I thought it was an entertaining enough match. I think the problem is between kind of internal distractions going on in my house. Take a drink every time they say TikTok. I was busy posting our TikTok of Alexa Bliss versus Shayna Baszler. So I wasn't totally paying attention to this. But what I saw was entertaining enough. These guys do a good job when they work together. Didn't they also just fight at WrestleMania? Yeah, I complained about that because what's-his-face Logan Paul came out with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens didn't kill himself off a pirate ship in Raymond James Stadium. So again, I think the talking point with this match, unless you're, you know, one of these, this is kind of why I wish Harry hadn't made it to the show tonight, because Harry Broadhurst would have actually given you like a point-by-point breakdown of the actual moves in the match, and none of that shit interests me. Let's talk about the fact that the WWE can't seem to break the habit of, you know, several months long feuds where the same two guys wrestle each other, not just on the weekly show, but on the monthly show as well, which, right. You know, how many, like, WrestleMania was what, the beginning of April, middle of April?
That's right. Beginning. It's
fucking June.
Right.
And we're still doing this? Come on, man.
Well, I don't know, man.
That's the face I'm making right now. See Alexa's face on screen? That's the face I'm making.
I mean, when you're talking about this feud, I mean, you're talking about, you know, you're talking about best friends, bitter enemies, you know, a classic old storyline. They put it all out there. You know, it had all the intensity and the violence. But this came as like almost like the dust off, almost like the final match in a feud. Did you get that vibe?
I mean, maybe
like it felt like it was game over type of deal for me.
Maybe for the time being, but give it a year from now. I don't know. I've heard today that Kevin Owens actually is taking a break from the WWE. So
there you go.
But a year or two from now, after we've forgotten we've had this conversation, it's in the podcast archive, and you know we've moved on to different things. They might go back to it, and that's the thing is they keep going back to the same. both in the space of only a few months and then years later, they go always back to the same guys. And with these two, it's especially egregious considering they have such a long running feud. Like, it's one thing to be like Kevin, you know, it's one thing to be like CM Punk and Samoa Joe fought, you know, in Ring of Honor. And wouldn't be fun to do that on the big stage. But yeah, when you do it once, one time, you know, the Summer of Punk thing. Yeah, I know he did it in Ring of Honor, but I didn't see it at the time. I wasn't watching Ring of Honor. So when he did it on this big stage in WWE, it's kind of like, you know, taking a little off-Broadway stage play and giving it like the full, either full feature or full Broadway experience. Right. Like, oh, it's the same thing, but, you know, but bigger. Okay, exactly. More people can see it. So that's fine. However, when you just kind of continue the analogy, what started out as a small Broadway play and then became a big production and then a touring production and then a local production and then a community production. Like, this goes on and on and on. It's the same goddamn thing. Eventually we're going to get sick of it.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, let's talk about the ending to this one, because I remember this vividly. So they were selling the big arm injury. Okay. So on SmackDown, if you were paying attention, they had, oh my goodness, what's his name? Aziz, the new guy. Commander Aziz, is that his name? Anyway, injure the arm of Kevin Owens, which carried over to this match. So Sammy actually jumps over the ropes and, you know, does the arm ringer on Kevin Owens' arm. And then he just hits him with a running haluva kick and pins him cleanly. I was absolutely blown away. Like, I could not believe it. 13 minutes. This was probably my favorite, you know, match on the show, and it shouldn't have been because it was so, you know, we've seen it a billion times over, but this seemed like they actually had the intensity that they should have had in all their previous encounters. But yeah, Sami Zayn gets the win. I guess the conspiracy theory continues, but he finally got justice, Mark Radlich. Finally.
Yes, sir. All right. Let's move on. This match was actually really good. This next one, and actually somewhat memorable. And no, I didn't do it. I don't remember what I did. I don't think I did a TikTok for this one. But Charlotte Flair defeated. Charlotte Flair defeated Rhea Ripley by disqualification. So I've mentioned it before. I've mentioned it online. Like, watch wrestling with a child because their reactions are the best. And
that's
like, first of all, my daughter hates Charlotte Flair, and she's like, oh, my God. You know, she wins everything. I've talked about this before. But here's the thing. Rhea Ripley going crazy at the end and, like, killing Charlotte Flair. And, like, my daughter kept looking at me, and it was so funny. And it's really a reflection of, like, the writing right now in the WWE where they, you know, they can't quite seem to figure out what it is they want to do. She looks at me. She's like, isn't Rhea Ripley the good guy? Why is she going nuts? Why is she destroying tables? It was so funny. Like, as a cynical wrestling fan, I watch that and go, the good guys don't do good things anymore. Everyone's sort of shades of gray now, and it's not as interesting as it used to be. My daughter is like very clear demarcation lines between good and evil. And you know, when she saw, and she knew that Charlotte Flair was evil. And so when she saw Rhea Ripley cheat and go crazy, she was like, she can't do that. You have to stop her. Why, Rhea? Why? And I was like in like wrestling heaven. Yay to be around somebody reacting appropriately to what happens on screen. As far as the actual wrestling match goes, I mean, there aren't too many better women wrestlers move for move than Charlotte Flair.
No, you're right.
And who has the appropriate amount of plastic surgery. Like, she still looks like a pretty girl. And
she does, but she's sitting on that fence, and if the wind hit in a certain direction, she could be towed into Friends reunion land.
Yeah, I think the story on this, and I only know this because it led to a fight with her and Dave Meltzer, which would have been a better match than some of the stuff we saw on the card tonight. but I think she had like dental work done. Like, it wasn't like she had full on like kill my face plastic surgery. I think she had some dental work done, kind of like, I don't want to say kind of like China, but kind of like China, to where like this, and I can only say that because the shape of her face is now different. Like, if you'll notice,
China had the entire jaw, everything done, didn't she? Not just dental work. My goodness.
Yeah. Dental work may be underselling it, but whatever Charlotte Flair did, she did as a kind of correcting matter, and it changed the shape of her face. Her face is,
it did,
her chin area is much more angular than it was before. It was a little bit more rounded, a little bit more fuller, and it's not like she's gotten skinnier. She's still a beautiful, built-looking, you know, tough-looking gal.
See, I think she has. I think she has lost a lot of bulk, to be quite honest with you, because, you know, she usually had the thicker thighs compared to the other girls when you're talking about, you know, your Becky Lynch's and, you know, all the other people and Sasha Banks. You know what I mean? She was always the bigger of the trio. You know what I mean? But she looks really, really thin in a good way. Like she looks fit. She looks tough and she looks good. Yeah. So I got really no complaints there, but here's my problem with this match. So the ending was a disqualification, but it's how it happened that was really off-putting. So they're in the middle, they're trading maneuvers, you know what I mean? Riptides and figure fours and all this stuff. So they roll to the outside, and we've seen this spot a million times where they're about to get on top of the announce table and all this stuff. So Rhea Ripley pulls the top of the table off, and she throws it at Charlotte Flair. And the referee immediately calls for the bell, and I'm like, what the fuck just happened here? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about this. How many times in a singles match, it doesn't have to be a no rules match, does somebody take the top of the table off and throw it at somebody and you got disqualified? This is the first time I've ever seen that finish. And it's stupid because, I mean, it's basically so, you know, there's certain things that you can do inside a match. Wrestling 101 says, you know, if you hit somebody with the chair, disqualified. If you hit somebody with the ring steps, not necessarily a disqualification. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you can whip somebody into the stairs. It's okay. Sometimes you can, you know, nip their hand in between and it's okay. If you take the table, the top of the table off and throw it into somebody, it's not considered a DQ. But here, all of a sudden, it's an outrage and then the match has to stop. I was like, what just happened here? That's not what you do in this match. It took the air completely out of the Thunderdome, which had no air to begin with.
All right. Last one, and then we'll wrap up for the evening. In the hell, last chance, Hell in the Cell, Bobby Lashley, champion versus Drew McIntyre, which I believe ended when MVP interfered and this went 25 minutes. I mean, these two, like I said, these two work well together. They're big dudes. So, you know, what they do looks stiff and snug and all, you know, all those good wrestling terminology words that I got from Grammarly. So they beat the shit out of each other. The heel did heel things. The heel manager interfered on the heel's behalf, so you know the face doesn't completely lose all of their heat. But you know they put on an entertaining. Okay, I remember people bitched at the end of this. Was this the one that ended in the roll up when people were like, "What the hell?"
Yes. Yeah, so, well, a lot of these matches ended with roll-ups. But so basically, Drew McIntyre gives him the Future Shock DDT. Okay. Sets up for the kick. He goes for the kick. Lashley grabs him with a roll-up, you know, dodges the kick, hits the roll-up, pulls the tights. 1, 2, 3. All over Drew McIntyre's, you know, desire to become champion is all over as long as Bobby Lashley's champion right there. In a Hell in the Cell, no doubt.
Yeah. Other than using the cell itself to be like, They didn't need to do Hell in the Cell for this, but a regular normal cage match, I guess, might have been fine, especially because it really didn't stop MVP from interfering. My one like memory of this match that really stood out to me, like the one thing where I'm like, that happened and that was amusing, and I kind of thought about it afterwards, was MVP. MVP is trapped in the cage and he's trying to get out, and Drew McIntyre is behind him like a horror monster. Yes. You know, and MVP's like, oh, let me out of here. Yeah.
I'll tell you great. What. So this was the debut of the hand. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you've seen Hell in the Cell matches and gimmick matches where wrestlers struggle almost endlessly to get the gimmicks underneath the ring. Okay. Mm-hmm. So someone doesn't have the foresight to properly stage the weaponry underneath the ring. So this time they actually hired somebody to take the entire match or the entire night to stay under the ring and hand the wrestlers the gimmicks, literally just push them out to them. You know what I mean? Okay. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's Bailey. I'm going to hand her the kendo sticks and nobody's going to see. However, when Lashley and Drew is out there, they're fighting, they're going down through tables. All of a sudden, a hand is physically seen on screen emerging out from underneath the ring apron, and people caught it all over the internet. So the hand, you know, the mystery man, who is the hand underneath the ring, Mark Radlich? Who knows? I don't know. But yeah, that, and there was one more spot. So there's a spot I think they propped the table up in the corner, okay? Mm-hmm. And Drew McIntyre is going to do an over-the-head belly-to-belly suplex on Bobby Lashley. Now, Lashley is amazingly agile for somebody his size. And when he took this move, he soared in the air, and then he came down like a 90-degree angle straight down on his head. I was like, oh, my God. If you saw a guy
on his head, even.
Sorry. Holy ding dong. Mm-hmm. Ding dong. Hello. Man, he almost got, I thought he was dead. But they had some great action in this one. But when you finish a Hell in a Cell match, and especially when a heel wins with a simple roll up and a yank of the tights, that's not good enough, Mark Red. That is lazy ass booking. Shame on you, WWE.
Well, they're not known for their strong booking. All right.
You can do better. Do better, WWE. Do better.
So this was a C plus B minus somewhere in there for me, this whole show. Here's the thing. Like and this is a talking point actually worth talking about. This is the last show in the Thunderdome.
Oh, too bad. I've literally had my fill of the canned heat. But guess what? For the pandemic era, I will say I will miss the Thunderdome because, you know, when you saw how COVID started and, you know, people really didn't know how to put off wrestling events. And we saw those first few weeks where they had no crowd. I was like, this is going to be the end of the WWE. This is the end. And then AEW filled it, you know, figured it out. They put their own roster, you know, out at ringside singing along to Jericho's Judas endlessly forever in the day. And I was like, okay, they seem to have something there. And then WWE unleashed a Thunderdome, and I'm like, they got it. They perfected it. So, you know, they just waded in the weeds, and they came up with a better idea. So for what they had, they definitely had the best option. So good for you, WWE, for, you know, taking the COVID era and making the absolute best of it. So RIP Thunderdome. There you go.
So next month, Money in the Bank is their first live with people event since the pandemic started outside of WrestleMania. And it's going to be in Fort Worth, Texas, at the Dickies Arena.
Yeah,
And that's going to be July 18th. We'll probably try to squeeze that one in before I go away on vacation. The Dickies Arena. I'm assuming like
Dickies?
The pants. Yeah, Dickies, like the pants, I'm guessing.
Dickies.
Dickies. Okay. Listen, Dickies. If you have millions of dollars.
D-I-C-K-I-E-S?
Dickies? Yes, Dickies.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. Here's a Newfoundland thing for you, okay?
Okay.
So a young child's penis in Newfoundland is called a dicky bird.
Can I have one podcast where we're not talking about dicks?
This is a dicky bird. So, you know, when you got something called dicky, that just sends all kinds of wrong messaging, and you could go to jail for that here in Newfoundland.
It's
so please
pants.
Don't call it the Dicky Bird Arena.
It's about pants. Dickie's pants. I have nursing scrubs that are Dickie's brand. Damn,
arrest those people. They're touching children.
Oh, don't say that.
I'm kidding. Yeah, poorly, by the way.
So anyway. So, I mean, you know, you gave your thoughts there on the Thunderdome era. Here's my only thought about this. I agree with you 100% that, like, the Thunderdome was a good idea for a bad situation that was utterly unavoidable. I think it was a good solution that they had come up with. Here's the thing. When they swapped around the pay, this is my last comment, and then we're done. They swapped around the pay-per-views. They moved Money in the Bank. They swapped this and that. And we ended up with Hell in a Cell as the last one. And here's my issue with that. Hell in a Cell, they're like, Money in the Bank is a big pay-per-view. It needs a crowd. Great. I believe you. SummerSlam, they're treating like this year's WrestleMania. It's at the Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, I think where the Raiders play. That's where a lot of like big boxing matches have been. It's fucking huge. That's a big deal. What happens in September? What's the big September pay-per-view? What is the thing in September we all look forward to? I'm going to give you the answer. Nothing, Chris Bailey. Nothing. There's nothing in September. They come up with some schmucky name for the September pay-per-view. It's usually Go Blow Your Mother or Great Balls of Fire. Or
Great Balls of Fire. We need more Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah, why couldn't
the best name ever for a pay-per-view.
Why couldn't we do, you know, WWE Presents Johnny B. Bad or Great Balls of Fire or, you know.
Johnny B. Bad in Great Balls of Fire 2 versus Brock Lesnar.
If you're going to, the final pay-per-view, actually, the final pay-per-view, if anyone had put any thought into anything, should have been, you know, Cyber Sunday.
Yes.
Right?
Fair enough.
You know, like...
I like Cyber Sunday. I like the whole idea behind it.
I think you could have... like done like a Twitter thing or, you know, Twitter polls, like go on Twitter, right? The WWE's Twitter right now, or the WWE's Instagram, and vote in the poll for what kind of match Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre will have. And then lie about it like they've always done. But, you know, like it's, they're doing this, so it doesn't really matter. but the illusion of interaction, I think, would have been fun. And I think that would have been a fun way to say goodbye to the, you know, because then you could have done like, they could have done like more cinematic matches. And I know I've said no more cinematic matches. You guys are terrible at these. This has been a downward long road to ruin. but I think going out with a bang would have been fun. Like this, you know, I think they should have blown up the Thunderdome.
Yes. Like literally, you know, where we have sometimes we have these takeovers. Like you got, when Retribution debuted on Raw and they came and they created havoc and they destroyed the ring and they tore off the ropes, smash up the Thunderdome, or have one of these Hell in the Cell matches just, you know, go into the Thunderdome and just smoke the entire place. That would have been awesome.
But that's my point. Like, it needed to stay in October.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of a fun October tradition. It was Hell in the Cell that led to Survivor Series. Like, and I like that kind of monthly pairing.
Yes.
Then moving Hell in the Cell to the Thunderdome at the Yuengling Center on the campus of USF here in Florida. I'm like, meh. And that's really my whole take on this whole pay-per-view.
Yeah,
you called it Hell in the Cell. You made it a big deal, but boy, has the Hell in the Cell thing not been special for a while.
You said it.
Just made it worse.
Yep, I agree 100%. Hell in the Cell is a gimmick that has expired. Like, it's no longer, so not only to make matters worse, but they had a Hell in the Cell on Friday night. They had Roman Reigns take on Rey Mysterio. And then they had another one last night on Monday night. Did you know who fought in that Hell in the Cell?
No.
Do you know?
No. Who?
Bobby Lashley took on Xavier Woods in the Hell in the Cell.
Terrific. Chris Bailey.
Nothing says end of gimmick like that.
Nothing says end of gimmick like nothing says end of gimmick like a guy from the New Day.
your boys.
So, Chris Bailey, I know that we caught you in between your work commute. When you were in your car this morning on your way to work to pay the bills, what were you listening to?
I was listening to some Amazon Music, and I'm currently listening to some great 90s music on there. Listening to a little bit of Verb Pipe, Bittersweet Symphony, all the way up through Veruca Salt, Seether, you name it. I was listening to it on the Amazon Music, and boy, do we have a good deal for our listeners.
That's right. If you want to continue, if we want to be like Chris Bailey and listen to good free music, at least for a month, you should click our link in the description of this podcast at getamazonmusic.com/W2M Network, getamazonmusic.com/W2M Network. And if you click that link and you fill out the information and you sign up for the service, you get it for a month for free for 30 days. You don't have to pay for it. You can go crazy. Amazon Music has all the same music and more that you would find on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever else you might listen to streaming music. It's great. It's a great service. We use it all the time on the Metal Hammer of Doom. We find soundtracks from movies that we review on DMU Hollywood. It's just fantastic. The new Fear Factory, which we're going to be reviewing tomorrow night. You ever hear, you don't know no metal. You ever hear of Fear Factory, Chris Bailey?
I have heard of Fear Factory. I can't tell you one song that they sing, but I've definitely heard the name.
That's fantastic. We're reviewing it tomorrow night on the Metal Hammer of Doom, and you can listen to the new Fear Factory right now on Amazon Music by clicking the link, getamazonmusic.com/W2M Network. That's getamazonmusic.com/W2M Network to receive your free 30 days. You like it, you keep it, you pay the monthly fee like you do with any service. At a reasonable price, and you know, you can link it to your Amazon Prime membership, get your groceries, get your medicine, get your shelves, get your t-shirts. And
did you say, you know, shelves, get your shelves.
Shelves. I've been
shelves,
looking for
okay.
You could see my dirty ass house behind me on the video, but you know, so I want to kind of be like everybody else on the internet now and not show my house. And so instead, I was gonna get like a shelf and put like all my pops on it that I can roll behind me, and then when we're done, roll back into a corner. So I've been looking for shelves lately on Amazon.
I thought you said shells, and you know, as
you
a Canadian
can
coming,
shells, though. You can get
coming
shells.
Coming to Florida, that's why you sell us stupid vacationers.
Yes.
Here's some stupid shells, a bag of shells for $10. Come on.
That I got for free off a beach somewhere that I stepped on and cut my foot.
Right. You got any of them toonies?
Yeah. I'll trade you a toonie for a shell. They're both all worth the same.
So get... Oh, bastard. Bastard.
So get amazonmusic.com/W2M network. All right, man. That's it. That's all. That's all for me. Thanks. I'm driving.
All right, brother.
So yesterday we reviewed Sweet Tooth Volume 1 Out of the Woods. We reviewed Luca. Tonight we're doing the Four Kings of Boxing. We're looking at the career of Marvin Hagler. That's chapter 2 of our series. The aforementioned Fear Factory review. Thursday night, Ronnie Adams will be back. We will be reviewing the show on Netflix for Sweet Tooth. And then on Friday, Jeff Sloboda and I are doing a new thing. He's kicking it off, but this is open to anybody that I work with and more. Friends I've yet to meet. It's called Triple Feature. It's just three movies. That's it. No, the money. No, because there's no money. These are all streaming movies. No money, no in the news, no Rotten Tomatoes reviews, nothing like that. It's just three movies. We line them up, spend 10, 20 minutes on them. End of show. So Jeff Sloboda and I will be reviewing Awake, Infinite, and The Ice Road this Friday night on the Rattlegion Broadcasting Network. Chris Bailey. Take me home.
Well, you can find me over on the Twitter listening to my retro ramblings and arguments with the folks on the Wrestling Shed on Facebook at Charlton_hero. And you can also find me, Chris Bailey, on Facebook. I'm over here hanging on the W2M Network, just doing some wrestling coverage over here with Mr. Mark Radlich and whoever else decides to join us. If it's Harry, if it's Chris, we don't know. From week to week, it's always a surprise package. And I'm also doing some Quester Days over with doing an ElfQuest podcast. Yes, ElfQuest. That's right. You know, the comic book that you never knew you loved. Well, by God, we're covering in gory detail over on Quester Days. That's on the Chris and Reggie Network. That's Chris Bailey. I'm just about cooked.
All right, folks.
Go to the Dickie Bird Arena. Watch wrestling.
Tick two. Hang on. wait. Set up that line again.
Go to the Dickie Bird Arena. Watch wrestling. You're terrible.
I am.
Oh, I'm here all night.
Oh, my God. I bet you're wanting me to do this.
Get on with it. Yes, get on with it. Yes!
New gimmickry of the Rattlesham Broadcasting Network has brought the juvenility of this entire crew to a whole new level.
Oh, it's back to the level it was previously at, I'll have you know.
Yes, sir.
Before I lost my soundboard. Everyone, thanks for listening to our ramblings. Be well, be safe, and behave.